Bald and Blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution Podcast. The podcast to get tools for a powerful mind you can use immediately every day. Get tips, tricks, skills, and inspiration to create what you desire and achieve a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Pup.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm Cathy Tate, your host from Down Under. With me, as always, is your host from America, Daisy Pap. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, my dear friend. Well, I'd like to say that it's not only me. So, as always, yes, I'm with you, as always, when we record an episode, but there's someone else present, Winston the dog.
Winston the poodle. Say hi, Winston. He doesn't bark unless someone's at the door, okay. Including the cat, by the way.
Well, okay, let's see how well he does. And then as long as he's behaving well, he's allowed to be live on the show, which is not available for listeners yet. But we're working on it that we will have a portal where people can join us live when we're recording. And we will let you know when we are done with that backstage and we can come out with that. And you can maybe even do live questions and receive live answers. So what's up your sleeves?
Well, Daisy, I thought today we'd talk about admitting what you actually want.
Oh, okay. So does that refer to say what you mean and mean what you say?
Well, I think it's a pretty close cousin for sure.
Close cousin. Okay. So it's in the family of. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a very good topic. And I appreciate, again, that you're choosing wisely topics that are part of everyone's life, oftentimes, if not all the time, although I rarely generalize. I think it is a good idea to have a look what humans usually do or what humans usually don't do. And I jump right in. I know of a wife, because she's a client of mine, with her husband. And when I have them both on Zoom, and she was nagging about things that she wanted her husband to do, but she never told him. And because we were three people in one Zoom room, I asked her, and I asked him to remain a listener while I'm talking to her, although he was present. And I asked her, so what is it that you want? Well, I don't want this. I don't. Typical situation that people are very good in explaining what they don't want until I got her to really say what she wanted. And then I turned towards him and I asked him, are you willing to fulfill this request of hers? I said, yeah, of course. Why didn't she tell me before? So that showed me clearly that oftentimes people lack communicating and verbalizing what they want. For example, I know so many people who try to speak the flower language. I'm not sure if that's an English term as well. In German language, we say, oh, somebody speaks to you through the flowers, meaning that they don't really say it directly. They rather say it indirectly. For example, if I wanted you to scratch your head now, I would say, oh, you know, I've seen the neighbors scratching their head and I like that so much. Instead of me saying, hey, Cathy, I really like to see you scratch your head. I'm just making this up, obviously. Nevertheless, it is so obvious that many people lack communicating clearly what they want. So many people also feel maybe ashamed of saying what they want. But why? Admit what you want. Say what you want. Think of it what you want. Become clear within yourself first. Because when I nag you, well, you never fulfill my dream. You never do a favor for me. Did you ask me? No, but you should know. This is such a fricious soil for arguments and misunderstandings. And I think it is absolutely not necessary. So yes, admit what you want. It's okay to want. And when 1,000 people tell you that it's not okay that you want that, then go out and find the 1,001st human who then agrees with you.
So yes, I agree. First, I think it's important that we all admit that none of us can read minds, no matter how close your relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
Your partner cannot read your mind. It's not possible. And I think that it's very common especially in relationships, to have this unrealistic expectation that your partner will just know what it is that you want. And that's just not the case. You need to be able to communicate your needs. And you mentioned shame, being ashamed to ask. And I think that could be part of it. I also think that there would be times when someone's scared to ask for what they want, or perhaps they don't have the self-worth to believe they deserve what they actually want. Mm. And all of these things could be a contributor. I know that when I was young, having never really been taught to communicate, I didn't know how to ask for what I wanted. And I think also there was an element in there of not actually even knowing what it is I wanted. And as you said, it is easier to start with what you don't want, because we are usually fairly clear on that.
Yeah, bias brain.
It's an easy one. I know I don't want this and this because they super annoy me. So what is it that I do want? And perhaps there's some self-reflection, self-inventory needed.
I'd like to add in here something. I do not believe that the belief of deserving or not deserving affects my wants. It affects maybe communicating about it.
Yes, it affects your ability to communicate about it, not the wants themselves, but how can you express that? Especially if you don't feel worthy. And let's face it, a lot of relationships are a little bit rocky, especially the worse your communication is, then the effect that is going to have on the relationship is it's not going to be as perhaps as smooth and close as it could be if you were better at communicating. So you've already starting with that premise. And then you've got this inability to express yourself fully because perhaps a lack of communication skills. And I am drawing heavily on my own experience here. And I think women especially would like to think their man knows what they want. They'd like to think that their partner knows them well enough to realize that they like this or don't like that. But I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's realistic. And then you add in how men and women's brains think differently. You've got a disaster waiting to happen, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I'd even start one step prior to that. Without trust, how can you possibly build an intimate relationship? And I go back to the play on words, intimacy, into me, see. I cannot have intimacy without allowing you to see into me. Now, when I cannot allow you because either I feel ashamed or I feel worthless or I don't trust you, when I don't allow you to see into me, then why would I at all get further into the relationship? The moment when trust is broken, the emergency band-aid is to fix the trust, which you cannot fix in a quick step. And I'm not talking about the quick step dance. I'm speaking about it is a lengthy process to rebuild trust if possible. Because without trust, what are you doing with one another? When I cannot trust you, then why would I share with you my wants? Now, I know of people, they share their wants and then they're laughed at or they're ridiculed. Or they are blamed, or they say, yeah, well, what do you think you are? So these are not the right people for your audience. And I'm not talking like somebody being on stage and then you have an audience. Whatever you share with someone, you are the one choosing your audience. How often is it that you wanted to share something with someone who was just simply not your audience? They did not have the level of empathy to grasp it or to understand, or there was no intellectual or emotional connection. There was no compassion available from their part. So I think it is important that we understand that we allow people into our lives. It's not like, oh, they just appear and I'm surrounded by a bad crowd. Of course, when I go into the middle of a bad crowd, then it was me actually factually going in there. But usually the people that surround us, we allow them in. When we become aware of that, then we can also become more selective. Not selective to be snobby or arrogant about it. No, but based on human qualities, on human values, understanding, empathy, trustworthiness. How caring is somebody? How gentle they are? Are they kind people? Are there people who are cussing? Are there people who are not meaning well for others? Are they jealous? Are they envious? So when we start surrounding ourselves with really humane qualities, when it's no longer about, okay, well, I drive a white car and now therefore I'm better because you drive a green car, or I drive a blue car and you only drive a silver gray car. These are superficialities. If that's what you want and you want to base your standards on, go. It's okay. If that's what you want, you have the right then to go after it. For me, that's not the level of connection that I want to have, but that is my choice. It's my decision. Now, when I cannot tell you, and you put it in a very good spotlight, that women oftentimes have the expectation that a man is supposed to know what she wants, and I know even of women, they expect their man to know before they even know what they want, that he's supposed to know. This is ridiculous to me. You have a mouth, you have 2 ears, and if you're healthy and fortunate enough that you didn't lose one of your ears, you have 2 eyes and 1 mouth, you have a tongue that most likely functions. Speak about it. Consider. Say what you mean what you say. Do not speak the flower language, meaning that you say something that you don't mean in the hope that he or she will be able to fish and be able to put the puzzle together. Humans are not puzzle makers 24/7. And I don't think that we're supposed to.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's a very good point that you bring up about trust and intimacy too. Ideally, you would have those things in a relationship, whether it be a romantic relationship, or perhaps a close family member, like a sibling or a best friend. You would think those things, trust and intimacy, would be essentials. But in my experience, that's not always the case. I've seen many people in many types of relationships where they don't actually have trust between them. And for one reason or another, they're still sticking together. I think in the case of romantic relationships, often people will stay together because they fear change and fear being alone. And so they go with the old adage, better the devil you know, and stay there. And I've seen that many times, and most especially in the generation that I come from, where it was more common to stay even if you were unhappy than it was to leave. And that has changed nowadays. It is much easier, I think, to be out and be independent and be on your own as a single mother or not, or there isn't the same expectation that there used to be that you would partner up and be in a relationship for your whole life. But I have seen many relationships where there is a lack of trust and they stay together regardless. And so I think that trust is a very important ingredient. But as you said, trust is built over time. It is not something that is snap your fingers and we have it.
Or falling into your lap.
Yeah. And part of building that trust, I think, is communication. And I really think that the ability to communicate is paramount. And the better you can get at that, then the more likely it is you're going to end up with what you want, because you now have an ability to even express that better in the first place.
Yes.
And unrealistic expectations of people in our lives that are close to us.
Here you go. Yes.
Because one, it's not fair.
No.
Like, that's a no-win. Like, you're setting it up to fail.
Totally.
That's not fair. Come on. And the poor other person who's probably genuinely wanting to make you happy or do their best to give you what you do want, they're flying blind.
Yeah.
How are they supposed to, like, just guess and see what your reaction is? And didn't get it right this time, I'll try again tomorrow. Like, that's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
So the better we can figure it out for ourselves first, what it is we do want, and then secondly, get better at articulating it to the people in our lives we want to know, then the more likely it is that we're going to end up getting it.
Yes, I think you really put it to the point that, first of all, the expectations, and we spoke about expectations many, many times in various episodes, that expectations are the highway for disappointment, period. So when I'm expecting your dog to meow, your dog will be disappointed that it will never be enough, because it will never feel appropriate. It will never feel enough. And I will just feel for the rest of my life, because it cannot meow, because it's a dog, I will feel unhappy and I feel almost deprived of what I deserve. So now I may feel even entitled that I deserve a dog that meows, because there are many twisted angles here. Many people believe many things they deserve, but what are they doing for it? Do they behave that way? Are they considerate? Are they giving? Are they generous? Are they compassionate? Are they empathetic? Are they patient? Are they forgiving? Or are they people who only expect all these things? I find it very interesting when I speak to people who feel entitlement, and I'm observing them and I'm observing what they bring to the table or to a relationship. And I spoke with a single lady recently, and she expected everyone to just do everything for her because it's her birthright to receiving. Good luck. I'm not here to convince anyone. I'm sharing what works for me and share what works for my clients on 5 continents. That's it. If she believes that she has the birthright, that everything is being delivered to her, although she is quite nagging and she is not the friendliest of all, she has a huge amount of believing that she knows it all. She has all the answers. She knows everything better than everyone else. What are we talking about? Now, I can want her to become the gentle woman she was born to be. She may one day become that woman on her terms, her speed, her determination, not mine. So let's be realistic. I think that's a very good ingredient that you also brought in here. Having realistic desires. I can still desire that I can fly and I'm growing wings. I can want that. I have the right to want that. I can even communicate people in my community. I want to grow wings. I want to fly like the white-headed eagle. Well, good luck for me.
Well, you know, if I could pick a superpower, it would definitely be flying. So I understand the desire. However, reality-based, you can probably only do that in your dreams, but at least that's somewhere.
Exactly. Or look, when I have a 3-year-old and I expect the 3-year-old to do mathematical equations like a 15-year-old, maybe there are some prodigies in mathematics that are capable of doing so, but it's rather unfair when I'm expecting or I'm waiting for a 3-year-old to proceed or produce something a 15-year-old would do. And much disappointment stems from these false expectations and especially not communicating. And if they communicate, oftentimes it's too demanding. And how is that poisoning everything? Very much.
Yeah, I really liked what you said before when you said, act yourself how you want to be treated. And I think that's super important. How can we even start to expect other people to treat us one way if we don't do the same? Mm. Like, I think that in my ideal world, in my head, where we are all equal, I would want others to treat me to the same standards that I treat them, and vice versa. And I think the important part there is the word standards. Mm. And that's something that I didn't learn till later in my life for one reason or another. And I think that's an important part of this conversation, because having standards is part of knowing what you want.
Yeah.
And I think until you realize what your own standards and values are, then it's very hard to articulate what exactly it is you don't want and do want, because I think those standards and values play a big part in that. Mm. So I think the first step, it was for me anyway, was to be able to articulate it to myself. Mm. First, what were my standards and values? And then how was I going to communicate that? And to who was I going to communicate it to? Where is it do I think I would get that from other people? And there was a lot of times where I just didn't think I would be able to get some of these things from other people. And so I didn't attempt that. I kept to myself and was solo and had a problem letting people in because perhaps I even had an expectation of being disappointed.
Oftentimes people use that.
Yeah, from my own experiences, that's what had happened to me. And when I had tried to say what I want, I did get either a nasty response or laughed at or however. But I see now that I was trying to get those things from the wrong person. And that's where when you say it's important who you look around and who are you wanting these things from, that's another important part. They say that we are a sum of the top five people in our lives. And, you know, you're around those five people so much that you grab off on each other, I think.
Yes.
And so if you don't have those standards and values in place when you have those five people around you, it's a bit like a viper pit. Anything could happen.
Yeah. I think it's also important to mention that what are you willing to do for getting what you want? Because when I admit what I want, but what am I willing to do for it? So when I'm just sitting here and I say, I want, what is going to happen? I don't know if much is going to happen, but when there are certain things that I want in my life and I'm admitting that I want them and I communicate them well and I communicate them clearly, then the question is, what am I willing to do to get them, to generate that in my life, to produce these circumstances in my life, to participate in generating these circumstances or the happenings or that quality in my life? What am I willing to do? Or am I expecting everyone else to do everything so I can have it? So these old top-down ideas and even ideologies, I think those times are over. Doesn't work anymore. When you look at the younger generation, you cannot really bribe them anymore. I see it when there's companies and then they try to give them, yes, yes, but do this. And yeah, you don't need the weekend. Just come on in and you get an extra pay. You can't bribe them anymore. They're not interested because they are more interested in quality of life. So it's very interesting even for business owners or corporations that things are changing. So the top down, but I told you, doesn't really work anymore because nobody really enjoys being forced to do something. And I think we are at the edge of big changes here in every relation. And it comes down back. Who am I? What are my values? What are my standards that I live by? I cannot have just simply standards. Well, my standard is that people are polite, but I'm not polite. My standard is to speak kindly and not potty mouth, but then I'm cussing all the way. That doesn't work. So the double standard doesn't work either. So when we become more clear and then we understand what we don't want and we can find out what we do want, or some people already know very clearly what they do want, without going the extra mile to find out what they don't want until then they can find the opposite of what they don't want so they can see what they do want. And then when you have acquired good communication skills, first person singular, not demanding, demanding is really out of fashion. I think then we are on a good way to be able to achieve those things that we want in our lives.
Absolutely. And guys, we have a PDF on our baldandblonde.live website, What Do I Want? So you are all welcome to go and download that. It is completely free. Just go to the website and over to the store, and it is called What Do I Want Exercise PDF. Grab that if you need some help figuring it out, figuring out what you do and don't want. Because that is one of the first steps to being able to admit it and ask for it in the right circumstance. And certainly, I think in a close relationship, it's something that we should practice doing so that we know each other better and we can fulfill each other's needs, which is only possible when we can express those needs and communicate what they are.
I'm not sure, though, that in a relationship, it's the responsibility of my partner to fulfill my needs.
No, I don't know that I'm saying it's their responsibility, but I know when I'm in a loving relationship, I want to fulfill my partner's needs. That's something that I want to do because I feel like I want to give as well as receive. And that's part of how I feel about a loving relationship. Not that there's an expectation, but rather a want.
Now, when you want to give and that brings joy to you, without you expecting that the other one ticks just like you and is wanting to give and wanting to share and wanting to be loving and caring, now then it's okay. The moment when we then believe, the false belief kicks in, but I would do that for you. Why don't you do that for me? So that's again, not saying what I want. So admitting what I want is one thing, but saying what I want is, I think, very, very important. And then I don't need to justify it. I have one example that most people who are listening to us can relate to. When you go to a drive-through, or you go to a takeout, or you go to a restaurant, do you say what you want? How easy is it for you to ask for what you want? Most likely, your response will be, oh, it's quite easy. I want a water, sparkling water or flat water? Flat water. Would you like lemon to it? No. Most likely, you're capable of saying what you want. And most likely you get what you want in these places. And there is no difference. It's just many people make it very complicated when they are in another relation, when it's not waiter-guest relation. For example, I know so many business people who are so clear about their goal setting. They're so clear about how to go after their wants. They're so clear how they communicate it. They are really speaking first person singular, meaning this is what I need from you. By what time can you have it done? Very clear. The moment they step in the door of their home, it's all gone. They don't know any of those skills anymore and mess up their relationships. It's disastrous and it's really pitiful to see how some people suffer, although they know how to do it, but they just don't know how to do it in a relationship. Then there's one other point where, and I circle back to the mind reading. One of my clients is very exhausted, physically exhausted. They don't sleep too well. They're working too much. They have too many irons in the fire at the same time. And we're speaking about that because he knows exactly what he could be doing to get his plate a little less filled so that he can take care a little bit better of himself. He knows it. So he asked me to meet with me 3 times a week. So I hold him accountable, not a pleasant spot to be in. Usually I don't do that, but for him, I did an extra arrangement where we do that. So we meet 15 minutes between sessions. And where I asked, so did you do that? He says, no, but keep on nagging me. And I said, I'm not going to get paid for nagging. That's not my style. He says, yes, please remind me. Can you remind me between these and those hours? I do it because I care for the human. And he is getting better a little better. But he would do everything and anything for his employees. And there are several hundreds, by the way. There are several hundred employees. He would do everything and anything, but not for himself. So he's depriving himself. And he knows what he wants. He wants more free time. But what is he willing to do to make that happen? So far, he is not willing to do enough to make it happen.
Yeah, there's certainly got to be some sort of motivation or determination behind that to want to put the effort towards making something happen. And I think learning to communicate is the same. I know that I went a long time without probably trying hard enough to learn because I was quite happy sticking to myself and not trusting anybody. It was much safer that way at the time. Well, that's what I thought. However, I deprived myself of a lot of opportunities to have probably several amazing relations with friends, family, perhaps even partners because I was shut down because I was protecting myself. So I think that all of this is relative to the person. It's different for everybody. It's a different experience for everybody. We've all got different past. We've all had different traumas. We've all protected ourselves in different ways. We've all learnt different things growing up. All we can do now is look at where we are and what we want to improve on and then how we can do that. And so I think that this is a good step in figuring that out. Mm. Can you at least admit to yourself what it is you really want? Once you've done that, well, then I don't think the next steps is hard. I think that once you figure out what you really do want, it's not a huge leap to then go, well, how am I going to get it? And you can start brainstorming all the ways that could be possible and figure things out from there. So I don't think this is the same for everybody by any means, but I still think it's an important question for us all to ask ourselves.
I agree. And when we self-sabotage, because that's very common for many, many reasons, yes, I admit what I want to myself, but I don't believe I can ever make that happen. I can ever achieve that. Now, what is it that's holding you back? One, and what is it that stands between you and the desired outcome? When you transform what stands between you and the desired outcome, the natural consequence will be that you are getting closer. Why? Because when you have that drive and that desire, it will pull you. And sooner or later, when I speak with elderly, so interesting, they had hints in their life when they were 18, then when they were 25, when they were 35, when they were early 50s. And they knew exactly it was calling them. It was calling them and they tried to ignore it. And then in their 70s, they just couldn't ignore it anymore. And all of a sudden, they did what they always felt the desire was. And then they finally went on that world journey, or they went to South America and they studied the shamanism, or they went and hiked the Camino de Compostela. So some people feel like they want to do that pilgrimage and they always felt the calling for it, or they always felt the calling for working with children. And they never really wanted to admit that. And then they're in their 35s or in their 45s. And all of a sudden, now they open a kindergarten that is very progressive and with brain-friendly tools and skills. And it's wonderful. So listen to the calling that's there within you. And it's okay to have that. And then test it out. Nobody said that you must jump into the cold water unless you really like cold water. Then do it. Jump and do it. Fine. So let's figure out who wants what. Everyone has the right to want. So I believe, and so I think clearly, as long as it is not harming others. Very important standard for me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that's been an interesting conversation, Daisy, and hopefully we'll get our audience thinking about their own lives, and perhaps it's time for one of those famous self-inventories that we speak about.
Yeah.
Don't forget that download's there to help you guys if you would like it. Baldandblonde.live. While you're there, buy us a cup of coffee on the Support Us page. We really appreciate your help. It helps us stay ad-free. That's it for us this week. We'll be back soon with another episode. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place. For you, for us, for future generations. Visit us at baldandblonde.live to get freebies, give feedback, and even support us with as little as $1. Talk to you soon.